hand comes on your property and you tell him to get off, and he won't get off, and you suddenly start pushing him. Well, you are using force by this definition. But you are identifying in your own mind, of course, a difference between this kind of force and another kind of force, which to you would be more aggressive. The point is that you are using force, and the purpose of it is to frustrate his desire. Now, his desire may be a, quote, wrong one, unquote, as orthodox, absolute, objective moralities go and so forth, and you may say it's wrong, therefore he had no right to do so, I won't call it force when I try to resist him. The fact is that all the elements are there. Physical contact is taking place. You're attempting to prevent him from doing what he wants to do. And we're not concerned for the moment whether this is right or wrong for you to do so. Obviously, it's right because it's what you want to do to protect your own property. Maybe it's not the most efficient way, but the point is that the right or wrong is not an important matter at this juncture. Now, this is force, and I want to then further clarify that by using the word coercion as initiated force, meaning that if two individuals find themselves in a scrap in some way, one of them has initiated the force or been the aggressor in the act, and the other one is apparently only defending himself. Not always. Maybe both of them are there for the express purpose of fighting. This is what they want to do or whatever it may be, in which case you might not even call it force. This may be just their form of recreation. But the point is, coercion then is identified as any kind of initiated force where you have aggressed on somebody else, where you have made physical contact on their person or property for the purpose of thwarting their desires without any kind of force having come from them. Now, let's take a couple of examples of this to further illustrate what I'm getting at when I use the terms in this manner. If you, for instance, think an individual is going to come onto your property and you can't think of any other way to stop him except to go 100 yards away from your property and intercept him there, and grab hold of him and try to stop him or something, then obviously you would be coercing, according to this definition, because you will have initiated the force. Up to that point, nothing has happened to your person or property by this other person. All that has happened is you think that this is what he is going to do. So in the strict sense of using these definitions, you would be the coercer. He may then try to defend himself, and he would be using force and so on to keep you from holding him, whatever it may be. Another factor that must be recognized here is that in the definition of force is the question of intention, meaning the purpose of frustrating his desire. Trying to think of a good example where somebody could say that I really wasn't trying to frustrate his desire, I was hugging him or showing my affection or whatever it may be, so it broke a rib. So what? Well, of course, the point is that you do have to determine intention by this definition. But because I intend to take this off in another direction tonight from that which it is usually going, I wouldn't worry for the moment about the difficulty of spotting intentions. I have always maintained in the past that fraud was not a form of coercion because it didn't matter. It wasn't relevant. You have to protect yourself from those who are inefficient, just as you have to protect yourself from those who are trying to defraud you. So the question of whether he intentionally failed to live up to his contract is really not important to you. You have to be prepared for either possibility, that he intentionally failed to live up to it or he just inefficiently failed to live up to it. And so it isn't important to determine his intention. And therefore, it is a very dangerous thing to try to label a particular kind of inefficiency, which is fraud, as being a crime and not the other kind, especially when you're involved in man-made justice systems and retribution and this sort of thing. You get into all kinds of complications, as we'll see as we go along. The point is here, you will have to make this determination. As imperfectly as you may make it, you are going to have to make this determination when somebody steps on your property. You are going to have to determine to your own satisfaction what you're going to do about it because you're required to act now in some way. It doesn't matter whether in some future court or some future judgment that will take place by some third party, you can prove that he was intentionally trying to force his way onto you or not. That's not important, but the point is that you are going to have to act. When you see this man coming, you're going to have to respond in some way, either friendly or hostile or whatever, to either protect your property or to welcome him or whatever. So you have to decide to your own satisfaction, as imperfectly as you may do so, whether or not his intentions are hostile or he is simply being a good neighbor. So you will have to make the determination as to whether or not this is force. And if you make it wrongly, you'll have bad consequences for making a mistake. If you have set it up in advance so that you're not even faced with that kind of a decision, then you avoid the possibility of bad consequences and so on. All we're recognizing for the moment is what is. There are times when somebody is going to approach you and you're going to have to make a determination as to whether or not what they're doing is forceful.